गणपति गुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन क्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं मत् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः So one thing about the study of Shastra, Shastra meaning the Upanishad is really, Veda we call Shastra specifically Upanishad, especially those interested in Vedanta, in Brahmajnanam. And then, of course, the texts that are teaching the same thing are also, we refer to as Shastra anyway also, because they're teaching the same thing. Original Shastra we take as Upanishad. So Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutra, these are prasthanatraya, the three main ones, like this for self-knowledge. And then the other texts that teach the same thing, the different prakarana granthas, different Vedantic texts that help to elaborate on this. Now the methodology for study, this is very specific also. The methodology for studying is shravanam, as we said, shravanam manan nididhyasanam. But Shravanam is the first main part because all the information comes from Shravanam. And there's a very important reason why it's Shravanam. It's not said Patanam. Patanam means reading, right? Vadanam, discussing. But Shravanam, listening from Acharya, from Guru, this is the methodology for it. And actually, I lived in Shivananda Yoga Center as I was a student. I lived for many years in the ashram, so I was familiar with so much of what is being discussed here. And that was probably a very good preparation, because the other yogas, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Karma Yoga, they're very good preparation. They're for Chitta Shuddhi, for helping to have a clear mind, pure mind, so it's easier to look into this. And we'll discuss about that today, actually. So what happens then is, I feel it was very good preparation, like this. But in any case, even having heard it so much here and there like this, but then once I found that there are Vedanta classes here in traditional way, taught in a traditional way, so as I said, okay, let me go, let me see. So, and Tattva Bodha, the introductory text was being taught. I said, great, from the beginning, let me go and roll from the beginning, you know, from grade one. And what happens, the methodology of Shravanam is regular hearing from Acharya of the teachings, over an extended period. Now, the reason for the listening like this is when I read, I'm reading the greatest master's writings, I'm in the driver's seat. So I am trying to understand. So the base is still I, the individual reading it. When I'm discussing with other people, still I and others. Here, there isn't. I'm listening it's the I can be put aside and it can be pointing straight to that. That's why the Mahavakya, the Upadesha Mahavakya, the Mahavakya teacher gives, Tattvamasi, you are that. After that, you can do Mananam, Aham Brahmasmi. But you have to start with Tattvamasi, it has to be pointed out. Because for me to put my own ego aside, it's not possible. But when I listen, then it can pierce more directly to me, because then I can be aware and just put my ideas aside. And Shravanam isn't easy, because I come with all of my ideas, and I listen, and then my ideas are kind of trying to make sense of, and my ideas are resisting certain things, or thinking other things like this. And or I can have a different kind of Shravanam. I can have the blind faith. Whatever Guru says, that's it. Yes, that's words of God done. Then I won't reflect on it. I'll be as good as a tape recorder like this, blind faith. And then teacher can say crazy things, I'll just accept. So, but I have to listen to it and just let it percolate within. Then I can reflect on. Then I can ask questions. Then I like this. But, so in this way, without the judgmentalism, without just, oh yes, whatever is said, but hearing it, because it helps to point directly to our nature when I listen to it. And that's something that just by reading or this, it doesn't do the same. So that's the systematic way. One true story to show about how I have to put my ideas aside like this to really be there is there was somebody who was a disciple in Ramakrishna order. I don't remember exactly, but in the story I also didn't know where in the lineage, if he's direct disciple Ramakrishna, further down this, I don't know. But in any case, he went to some Vedanta guru to study, to went there, to understand this. So when he went, then he went to the class, he came and prostrated to the teacher, and the teacher said, very good, you've come to study Shastra. He said, yes, very good. Go back outside, where you left your shoes, leave your Sri Ramakrishna out there too and come back. Because doesn't mean don't have devotion to Guru, nobody's saying this. But if I'm sitting here and a certain point is being pointed out, it's kind of like in a science class, look at this thing. And in my mind I'm thinking how I learned, how I know, how this, my ideas are getting in the way, I can't see it clearly because it's not being pointed out to me. So this is something to really be aware. And in myself, one time I saw in Vedanta class, I could, you know, see how sometimes my judgmentalism, my idea coming up. Why my idea? If I'm thinking my idea, I'm sitting in front of Acharya, where I go and study, so many more years he knows than me, so much more. If I'm doing my mananam thinking, this person is speaking, then that's mananam too. I can listen to that. My ego is fighting against that. It's very silly like this. So this is just something you really should have listened to, pointed, not easy to do like this. But then if I do, I have to put aside, and it really helps to bring to, you know, directly to myself. This is what it does. And again, one has to be patient with it over time. That's why, again, people that come, I say, have patience. Do it for 6 months. You already had interest in this. 6 months, do it sincerely. Doesn't do anything good, you try to go do something else. But otherwise, how do you know? We don't have patience. And if you do sincerely, you see, it really can, you know, okay, you don't have total knowledge, I'm the infinite, unchanging in this, all the problems are mithya, they're just non-existent. Okay, maybe that's not happening, but you'll have a lot more of a hunch of that if doing it sincerely. This is what I could say about. So in any case, just a few words about Shravanam, because it's This is the, you know, main part for Vedanta study. Then Mananididhyasana is on what I've heard. First Shravanam, then it gives the material for reflection, gives material for meditation, otherwise what material is there like this? So this is an important thing like this, because I get stuck with so many concepts. In the end, Vedanta is to break all the concepts. If you go to good, Acharya, when I go every year, is Swami Tattvedananda Ji, who I think is the greatest Vedanta orator I've heard. He is there. What is one of the main things he does is breaking all of our ideas. Breaking all of our ideas. A lot of the people come and retired, and being Indian retired, they're here with their, you know, close with their family and everything. So he is constantly helping to smash the idea, I'm the grandparent, right? Because that's a big attachment identification. He sees me, he always says, some people are, you know, don't have a total understanding of Vedanta, are weak in Sanskrit, they think they can teach Vedanta. So he helps to break our, to point out where my identification is, because in the end, Vedanta, I have to crush my identification. I crush my identification, I can't. Somebody points it out, then I can see that, then it helps me to break the identification, I am this, like this. So this is partially how, you know, Acharya, who has really knows the subtle parts of it, will help to do like this, help us to look at that. So in any case, in our last class, Shri Krishna took the hypothetical question, because Arjuna is there. Arjuna didn't totally understand. He says, Arjuna might think, okay, can this Atma really be like this? So he says, hypothetical idea, let's say that Atma is Jivatma, born and dies, born and dies. Let's say like this, hypothetically. He said, even so, what will your grief do? What will your worry do? It's nature, whatever's nature, something's nature, won't change. The nature of something is to be born and die, its nature is to born and die. So you can prolong it a little bit longer, but it'll go anyway. So then your grief is not going to help anything. And what is natural, like this. If something's natural, it'll play out as it has to. So then, you know, so just, you have to accept it like this. It's not going to help anything. So this isn't the gist of what he discussed in these few verses last time, that even from that perspective, you know, gatasuna gatasun works, whatever comes will go soon, and whatever left eventually will manifest in another way, some other way, someplace. So it's not that it's totally gone, but also it's nature. Anything's nature is going to be like that. You can't change. Something's nature, its swarupa, can't be changed. You can't change. You can't make the world be something permanent. You can't do it. People talk about, they're worried things are changing. Like in US, things are changing. What'll happen? Democracy won't be here. Yeah, maybe tomorrow democracy won't be here. Okay, democracy came, democracy will go. I know that one time, some interview, somebody asked the Dalai Lama about what would happen, you know, if for certain things the Buddhism would cease to be. He says, well, so it'll cease to be. What religious leader will say, my religion will cease to be? No, that'll be the end of the world. Yeah, things come, things go. So we have to accept this too, like this. So that everything comes. Whatever came, it came for some time, it'll go. Right? You know, some of you have kids at home, the kids at home, yes. Tomorrow they go to college and they'll call once in a while. They'll live their own life and then, you know. And then a friend of ours, whose daughter is now finishing her, she's not doing medical, not the regular medical school, but doctor's assistant. So it's like, you know, 75% doctor. She says she'll be a doctor, but without the same responsibilities, so she prefers it. So that's her choice. But he says, now, because he studied some Vedanta, he says, somebody should have told me before, now we're only left with photographs. So I said to him, yeah, very smart. After the fact, it's easy to say. So we have to go through it to learn. If somebody, when you're young, will say, you're only left with photographs, you'll still want to go through, and then, you know, that's true. Well, we were left with memories. That's from whatever was before. Can we take them with us? We can try to take in our head in this, but then that's not something of the substance, right? So like this. So this is what he discussed. So let's see where we're at now. We're in now verse number 29. Okay. So it's around the middle. page 36, I keep a marker in mind, so that way I'm safe. I hope that I know where we're at. Like this. Yeah, get a marker, put in yours. I get these little tape markers like this. Here, take mine, and I'll put a different one. You just keep in there. And that way, I make sure under the class to put in this place, and I know where we're at. So it's 29. Ashcharyavat pasyati kaschidenam.
Ashcharyavat pasyati kaschidenam.
Ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva chanyah.
Ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva chanyah.
Acharyavat chainam anyashrunoti.
Acharyavat chainam manya. Shravanoti, shranoti.
Ashcharyavachainamanya shranoti.
Ashcharyavachainamanya shranoti.
Shrutvapyenam vedana chaiva kaschit.
Shrutvapyenam vedana chaiva kaschit.
One sees this Atma as a wonder. In the same way another speaks about it as a wonder. Another hears of it as a wonder, still another never understands it in spite of hearing. Interesting, Swami Paramarthanandaji, that last pada, still another never understands, he said like this, but most translations, it says, it doesn't say it like that, it says, even having heard it, no one understands it. That's what's more commonly put, he just put it differently. So that last part, instead of still another, this, you know, because it can always be said, thought, you know, can always translate slightly different ways, but that one is usually put in there. So having heard, no one really knows it like this. So this one is talking about the mahima, or the amazingness of this self-knowledge like this. How amazing it is. How difficult it is to know it in this way. How subtle. Because, you know, the fact that we're even sitting here talking about something, which we already said, you cannot get, it's aprameya. Through the senses, you're never going to know Atma. You're never going to see Atma. Sorry. You're never going to feel the Atma. You're never going to see the Atma, hear Atma, nothing. You're never going to know Atma in your mind like this. Very interesting. Still, we're looking into it. But the thing is, the mind can't understand what it is, something like this, that isn't through the senses of the mind. The mind can't comprehend it. Here, the mind, you say about infinite. Space is infinite. So the mind thinks something very large. Oh, so large, right? But the mind can't think infinite because it doesn't fit into the mind's categories. Because meaning not finite. So the mind gets baffled, they can't think of this. So that's just an example. So the thing is, Atma, not something that can be. And so the thing is, very amazing how we're looking into it like this. So this is an important thing, that that's one of the biggest struggle we have, is our objective thinking. Anything we take as an object, we want to find Atma as object. People want to find God as an object. Since they think of God as an object, then God, I'll get in a certain way, in a certain place. I'll go, after I die, I'll go to the heaven, and there I'll see the God, like this. Certain condition. But condition means, again, that because thinking of it as an object, some object. But here we're not talking about object, like this. That's why, how to know it then? That's why it's such a subtle thing, so hard to put your finger on like this, in this way. So this is what's being pointed out here, that this is thing. Now, what happens then is that in this self-knowledge then, that's why also the way it's pointed out, the way it's revealed, has to be different than how we do with other objects. It can't be done in the same way. Like this, okay? So we're always looking for it somewhere in this way, somewhere. But what is there other than object, right? It's the subject is other than object. That's the only thing of other than object. Now, there's a nice story they tell about this, that somebody was going on a train. This person, diamond merchant, has some expensive diamonds on the train. And there's a well-known thief, that was on the train, and it's a sleeper, so same sleeper as his, same compartment. So of course, they don't tell, one isn't telling the other, oh, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm the diamond merchant. Oh, and my name is so-and-so, I'm the thief. They don't do like this. They just say, I'm this person, I'm this. And they, not telling each other, knew who the other is like this, right? So it happened at night when the diamond merchant went to sleep, right? Or when he goes to wash up, the thief looks everywhere for the diamonds. Looks everywhere, cannot find anywhere. And two nights he looks everywhere, everything he can think of, can't find. Nowhere. So finally, when they arrive, then the thief tells the diamond merchant, you know, sir, I'm most successful in my business. I've always managed to steal the goods like this. You baffle me. I have no idea how you do this. Please let me know where you hid the diamonds. How come I couldn't find them? I looked through all of your things. I looked through everything you had like this. I couldn't find them. He said, yes, that's true. Did you look through your things? So he knew the thief would look, so he left it with his things in his bag, and last day when he washes up, he takes it out from there. So where he won't look in his own place, only the others. So this way we're looking for everywhere, we'll never find, right? It'll never be object like this. So where's consciousness? You say God is a conscious being. If you say God is an unconscious being, it doesn't make sense, conscious being. So kind of like where you know the consciousness is, start searching there. I see that Shaila here, she's a conscious being, so I'm going to try to find the consciousness in her. Like Guru, I say Guru is conscious being, yes. Yeah, the Guru, you feel some presence in this and helps to point some things out, but then in order for me to see, tattvamasi, they'll say it's you're that. Don't just look for me. I'll help to inspire you somewhat and I'll help to guide you, but you have to see it yourself like this. That's not going to help. So I can't find, in Shaila here, I can't find the consciousness. I can't go and, where am I going to find the consciousness in her? I can, through anumana, through inference, I know she's conscious. And I know the table is unconscious, through inference. But me, I know I'm conscious. I'm the conscious being. So to find consciousness, I have to look where I see it, where I know it's there, and then start looking for it. Instead of through some other place, then I'm, how am I going to find, what is the guarantee I'll find there? So there's a similar story about, you have to search in the right place for it. And the story is that there's one Brahmin, he goes in the morning, goes to another town. So before going to the temple in the morning, he goes to take a bath. Right, so he goes to the ghat, to the bathing place, goes and takes the bath and everything, and then he gets out, and then he noticed the coin. What happens is you have your dhoti and you roll it and you put your key or your coin or something in there. The old way to do it, like this. So first time a long time ago, I knew how to do. Now I wouldn't know how to do that anymore. You keep it in there. But then it's when, especially in the water, it can open up easier. So, he lost his coin, he has to find it, because that's what he has for. So he goes back. Now, he went early morning, but now that it's an hour later, it's gotten kind of busy there. There's another ghat there that's not so busy. Okay, so he goes there and starts searching. So somebody says, what are you searching for? Oh, I had my coin, so I can't find it. So when I was bathing, I dropped it. This person, a few other well-wishers, come and start helping. Then one asks, tell me, where were you bathing where you lost it so we can narrow it down? Says, in that ghat over there. Why are you searching here? Well, it's so busy there. So I might as well search here, it's quieter. So we have to search in the right place and the right way to search in this way. If you want to search, the right way for something, you can't search for it the wrong way. If So here, that's why how to search for it isn't clear. So Ashcharya Vat Prashyati, that somebody's been looking for it, sees, this is a wonder. What a wonder that somebody is trying to find. What a wonder that somebody is talking. In this comes from Kathopanishad there, it says, a wonder that one speaks of it, meaning that somebody can teach it through words. Wonder that somebody hears it, it's a wonder of wonders. Wonder that somebody understands this thing, it's a wonder. Because something that can't be communicated by words, can't be thought of the mind still, it's done in this way. And then, of course, how many are trying to know it? How many, you know, find it, but nobody really gets? How few people? Later, his text, Manushyanam Sahasrishu Kashchid Yatati Siddhaya, talks about so many people try to, but very few know. Same thing here. How many really know? And so there are obstacles for us to know it. What happens is this obstacle that I'm going to get somewhere, I'll get what I'm looking for from something. Right? I don't feel fulfilled now, but after doing some things, then I'll be fulfilled. Right? Now, when we were kids, a lot of us would see the horizon and think, that is the edge. Let's go to the edge and see what's there. Flat Earth theory, right? That's what, so child's mind like this. So imagine we try to go to get to the horizon. We get somewhere. Okay, now it's the ocean, so I'll get in a boat. I'll go. We'll keep going. Eventually we'll have to be smart enough to say, hey, it keeps receding, something's wrong. I can't get to it this way. That's not the right way to get to it. Right. So I'm looking for fulfillment. My older brother's already going to school, I'm small, and I go to school then. You know, now I'm first grade, well, I don't know. But those that are going to the high school, oh, they're really big kids. I remember when I was little, then somebody had bar mitzvah, right? Had a watch. Wow. Wow, when I'll be big, have a watch. And then something. So I always think, high school, the college people. Right? Where I grew up, the army people. Unfortunately, when I grew up, it's like this. College comes after army service. The people that work, oh, they have a nice career. They have their own house and this. They can have family. Like this, family, kids. When I retire, oh, then. Always receding, then I'll be fulfilled, right? But we're not so smart. We say we're very intelligent people. Who do you know that has gotten fulfillment? We get some fulfillment, but we're really fulfilled. Okay, krita kritya. I've done everything I need, now I'm content. Right? That has done that and be content. Who do you know? Can you name one person? Look, we have a president who has served the country so long, done so much. Third try for president, now he managed to. He's been vice president. Wonderful big family. You know, everything wonderful. He's older than 80, right? Still he wants to be president for 4 more years. You know, where's the contentment? I'm not saying he shouldn't be president or this. I'm not as a judgment in that. Just as seeing, even you become president, you still want to be president longer. Which president was there 8 years here in US that if they could get another term wouldn't want to do it? Yeah, let me still hold on to this. But, right? So in any case, we always think the fulfillment we come from something like this. But you're never totally fulfilled. From something. Now we want to also be secure. I want to have money to be secure. I want to have insurance to be secure, right? Now the interesting thing, I don't have enough money, I don't feel secure. Then when I have the money, I don't feel secure because somebody might rob me. Now I need an alarm system. If I have too much money, now I need security guards too. So the security I'm looking for situations so that I can't find. To fulfill the secure people are the ones who have seen that it's not there, so they're not dependent on it, so that meaning Atman Yavatmana Tushtaha, it'll come up. You know, coming attractions when we get to Sita Pragya Lakshanam sometime. Content within their own self. So what we're looking for the fulfillment, we're looking for security, we're looking for happiness, but we're looking for it in object, meaning in situations, conditions from things. but we don't find it there. And we keep thinking that I'll do. We say, what is Maya? What's Maya? There's Maya. I keep thinking that from something I'll get these things, the security, the fulfillment, the happiness, from anything, but do I get it? Here. Now Aaron is Uttarkashi. For more than 15 years, every year I used to go there a month and a half, now just like two and a half weeks because of I work and then I can't take more time off in one shot like that nowadays. So I do that. I've been there with great Mahatma, Swami Premanandi, Swami Ram Sarupanandaji. Sit by Ganga in this. I'll still go, not that I won't go. But if I think, but I think that I'll do more of that, then I'll be. No, that's not what's going to do it. You know, it's good for meditation, time for contemplation. It's a great thing to do, but this, a thing will do, a thing is not what's going to do it. Like this. So in this way, I'll always think from something in this way. It's where we say, no, these things are in your nature. They're constantly there, but we're going outwards to find instead of seeing what's constantly there. This is the issue. So, and this is, as I said, the objective thinking. I'm used to seeing everything as an object, as something tangible, whether it's a situation also as object like this, we can say. That's what is causing me not to see this in this way. So that's why it's this reconditioning, how I see things isn't easy because I'm used to, right? Old habits die hard, we can say like this. So one of the amazing ashcharyas, mind-blowing like this, or how did it say here? It's a wonder that how much we listen to study this stuff, how much, and still we don't know it. Because, you know, I've been going to Vedanta class 10 years here. I see all my co-students. I can't say that some, you know, people say, yes, okay, I'm totally clear in this. I know many sannyasis, and very few I'll say yes, I think, because just somebody saying isn't going to do. Yes, that person has no, you know, okay, no question about it. So meeting it, because very subtle, so it's a wonder that somebody even knows it. And it's a wonder that how much we study it and we don't know it. What a wonder, you know. It's like somebody that is wanting to get, you know, a certain degree or pass something, and they keep working at it, and still not making it no matter what, right? So how come you tried 10 times? How come? You did your driving test 7 times. How come you didn't pass? So how much we look and we don't, it's quite a wonder. And what's said about is also, people think then they have ideas about what Atmajnana is going to be. These ideas, oh, it's going to be an expanded idea. It's going to be, you know, they think of just some wonderful experience because we're thinking of experience. For experience, you need an object of experience like this. So then, something like this. There's one teacher here in Marin County. Years ago, I went twice. You know, he speaks nicely and you sit there, very nice, very uplifting energy. So he talks about the time when he was somewhere and then he hit his Nirvikalpa Samadhi and all this. So if then in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, then he had an experience, meaning it's an object of then. But then meaning it's an object, it's a condition. What about now? So Atma doesn't, it's not from that day on Atma was there. Atma was always there. It's nityaha, always there, not bound by time. If Atma started a certain time, it'll end at a certain time. So it's always there, it can't be. You know, I can say maybe, oh, it became clear to me at this time that I was always that. I just hadn't noticed. So really, it's just if somebody knows it, it's like, my God, what a wonder that I was always, it's always there and I couldn't see it, I didn't know it. What a wonder, how silly of me, you know. How silly my glasses were sitting here all the time. How silly I'm looking everywhere. How silly I'm the awareful being, I'm not limited and I don't notice it. So it's a wonder that it's right there and I don't know it like this. So this is in this way. So now what happens with this is, okay, we don't see this. Why don't we see? What is it that's missing for us to see it? This is what we want to point out. So we'll start looking at this today, and if we need more time next, we'll go over more next week, because this is a very important thing. We're actually like the Tattva Bodha, which I mentioned, which gives a very, very good skeleton view of the main points studied in Vedanta. Very good introduction like this. It starts with this too, and this is one of the important things, adhikarityam, meaning what is the preparation needed? What is needed in order to see this? To be a seeker of truth, Vedanta, student of Vedanta, what is needed? Kind of like if you go to, you say, okay, I want to go to medical school, what do I need? What is your prerequisite? You need to have your bachelor's degree, you need to have these classes, biology, this one in chemistry, whatever, this one in language, some prerequisites. So these are the prerequisites needed for seeing it. Now, doesn't mean, okay, let me go get the prerequisites and come back to study, because the study helps also to, some of these will be built up with the study in this way. It's not like this. If somebody has all these prerequisites, then, you know, there'll be Ramana Maharshi, that one little thing and finish, they know. So it's not that we have to say, okay. So in any case, so this is what's called sadhana chatushtaya, the fourfold means for liberation of Adiguru Shankaracharya, that he points out these are what's needed in order to be an adhikari, a qualified student of Vedanta, you can say in this way. So the first one is viveka. That's the first. I'll put it like this so you can read. You can read there, it's okay. So viveka, nitya anitya vastu viveka. It's okay, I put it here like this.
Yeah.
So nitya anitya vastu viveka, meaning discrimination between what is changing and what is not changing. This is what it is. You can also say it as atma anatma viveka. What is the atma, the self, and what isn't the self? In the end, they'd be synonymous. So what happens is, when you're observing something, you're observing a movie. In the movie, there has to be the changing factor, but there has to be the constant factor too. Meaning, if the screen were moving too, let's say it's windy and the screen is moving in the wind. You couldn't see, it'll be chaos. If the light projected isn't projected steadily, but somebody's moving the camera around, the projector around, you can't see clearly. So there has to be something for experience to happen. There has to be the constant as well as the change, like this. So here, say, there's the constant, there's the changing. So you need to have that subtlety to know the difference between the two. And so there's one constant presence, and then within the presence, there's the seemingly change, just like a movie. It's interesting, in Adiguru Shankara gives examples of the shadow puppet type thing, where people move the hand and things are moving. So if the movie, and also there's examples of picture, painted picture. If the movie existed, they would have used it. The old, you know, masters would have used it, because the movie is a great example. So they got very close to that. Or people used to come to the village and tell stories. They point to the clouds and start saying, you see there's a big elephant and the king is sitting on the elephant, blah, blah. And people look and they start getting, you know, from the person's imagination and how they're telling, they start seeing that in the clouds. So very similar, all these ideas are, you know, but the movie really is a, you know, makes it even more clear like this. But in any case, so there's, for an experience, always there's unchanging. So the unchanging now, the thing is, when I'm experiencing, I'm getting information through the senses. What is through the senses? It's vibration. Actually, this is one thing I haven't done, but I need to do. A friend of mine who's going to the years, we go to the same Vedanta class. We usually go for a walk every week, discuss what we're studying, everything. he went and he did a little research, I'm sure YouTube, now do research, go to YouTube, see a few videos by experts on hearing. And the thing with hearing is, all the vibration, you know, there's vibration, it comes and then the sound is here. There's no sound outside. It's vibration. Sound is just because vibrating, you know, vibrating in you. So sound outside. And there's that, some philosophy that they say, okay, if the tree was cut in the forest, it fell, nobody heard it. Was there sound? So actually the answer is no, there's vibration. Sound is only inside your ear. So in any case, a bit of a side there, but hearing is vibration, meaning waves change. Seeing, change. All the senses, it's change, vibration, okay? So change. Thought is changing. I'm seeing you and, you know, so I'm thinking, you know, this person, that person, I know this one's in this remote place, you know, it's all thinking, vibration, change. Even intellect, decision is also change. How do I know? My decision also wavers. Yes, I'll do this today. But next day I'll say, no, I'll do it different today. Well, you know, it wasn't a good decision, blah, blah. My mind is clear now. I can do it. My mind isn't so clear. I'm not going to decide on now. I'll leave it till tomorrow. So it's also changing. All this is changing. So all that's changing is changing, changing, okay. But beyond all this changing, if I put each one of these aside, I'm still there. I, the conscious being, am still there. And that's constant. Because throughout all my experiences, I'm there. But the thing is, because of lack of viveka, there's what's called anyonya adhyasa. Anyonya means means mutual. So mutual superimposition. I superimpose one thing on the other and back, like this. So what happens is, I'm the conscious being which doesn't change, the consciousness. Now, what I do, I take the consciousness and I think that it is the mind, the body, meaning limited and changing. And I take the myself, the individual, and I think that this is my real self. Like this, I take this on as the real self, as the one who's not changing. And then I'm worried, how will this one go away? What'll happen when this one dies? How can I die? I don't want to die. Like this. It's a constant change. So superimposition both directions is a better word than mutual for this, as mutual as you, me and somebody else. But it's, you know, one thing to the other and back. There's a better term for it, coming to my mind now, but like this, both sides. So this is the issue. So this sorting out is done. Now with this viveka, one interesting thing is, when I have, let's say this is this black marker like this. Let's say I have markers like this that are black, and I have other ones just like this that are red, right? And they all got put in a box and jumbled. So then I want to separate. So I want to go and separate because we have to have them for some reason, separate boxes. So we go and we have to take the markers and put the red ones in one box, put the black ones in the other box. There physically I'm going to separate the two. Okay, I can physically separate them. But now, take another example of this. You have the you want to explain about the, you have hot water, right? The water is hot. Now, is water and heat, are they the same thing? They're not the same. Can you separate the heat out of the water at that moment? You can't really separate, but you can understand the difference between the heat and between the water. Without separating the two, you know the difference, right? Like this. So there, you don't really separate the two, but you understand the difference in this way. Or here. So you understand the difference between. So it's not something you really separate, right? You can't separate them, but you know the difference. Through understanding, you know the difference in this way. So here, it's not that I can separate myself, the conscious being, and the body-mind complex physically. There's no way to separate. How are you going to separate? Okay, I'm going to put the body here and the mind here, and I'm going to put the Atma there. You can't do that. It doesn't work. So through understanding, you can separate. So that's the thing, is the separation here is just through understanding, not through any physical process. So it's jnanam, understanding, not karma. Because karma is activity. Here it's just understanding. Understand the difference. That's viveka. So this is the first thing. We need to build up this viveka. This is what's needed. And if you notice, all we've been discussing about atma, so many classes, helping to slowly sharpen this viveka. You know, like the sharpening, somebody has a knife they want to cut, it's very dull, they keep sharpening. For sharpening, that's what it's doing. It's not that we'll see the atma, because you won't see the atma, know the atma. You'll have viveka, understand what the atma is. That's what it is, for understanding what I am, what I'm not. What I really am, what I'm not, understand the difference, and then what I'm not is just, you know, I don't need to, see that it's gone like that. I don't need to. It's just there. Then it's not a problem. Okay, so that's the first thing, first prerequisite, okay? So you go to college, do Viveka 101, and then do Vairagya 101 like this now. In this way. So that's the first thing, first point. Second one is called Vairagya. So Vairagya. Okay. In the Tattva Bodha, it says, if I remember correctly, Iha Amutra Artapala Artapala something Viragaha. Iha Amutra Artapala Palabhoga Viragaha. So the dispassion towards the enjoyment of the objects, which are the fruit of the objects here or in the future world, like heaven or so, that are the result of our karma. That's what the definition given in Tattva Bodha about this. So what happens is, now that I see the difference between the two, because Vairagya is dependent on Viveka, just Vairagya without Viveka is what's called Samsana Vairagya, or Samsana Vairagya. Samsana, it's called Samsana Vairagya.
Seven types of Vairagyas.
Ah, really? Seven?
Smashana Vairagya, the delivery pain, and there are many different...
Well, Smashana is the same, but all those other ones will be the same as Smashana in the end. Smashana Vairagya means you're somebody dies in family, uncle dies, something, you're very sad, funeral, and you're singing, what's this life for? Look, tomorrow anybody else is going to die, and this, why should I do? I'm not interested in anything. So you kind of become like this dispassionate, a little depressed and dispassionate towards thing. You don't want to eat too much. No, it's okay. I don't need anything. And then you say, forget it, I'm not going to get involved, forget about enjoying in movies, restaurants, I'm just going to be quiet and introspect. So you do it for some time, right? After 2 weeks or so, your friend says, come on, you've just been down, come, at least there's this nice new restaurant, at least come, let's try it out. Okay, I'll go, no problem, I'll go. So you go with that friend, right, you go, and you enjoy this, and you come back, yeah, it's nice, yeah, maybe some other time. And then, next week says, there's a party, come on, let's go. No, I'm done. No, just come on, just this. Our friends will be there. And then slowly, after a few weeks, the Vairagya is gone. yeah, life comes and goes. Yes, yeah, so let me enjoy while I'm here. It's okay. So this is Smashana Vairagya, where something, a certain situation, brings it to me. Oh my God, look at this. And so it overwhelms me. But the thing is, it's not through viveka, not through vichara, not through inquiry. So meaning the impression is there, but the other impressions will take over soon because it's not that it's from my understanding, it's just a certain situation, and that situation is also temporary. because I see the dukkham is here in life, but I see a lot of sukham too, so let me go for the sukham in this. You know. But with viveka, then one sees, yes, okay, I will go to the party and enjoy with my friends or this. Okay, I'll get some joy from it. How long would that joy last? Yeah, it'll be nice. And then next day, what'll be? Then what? No matter what I get, then, you know, any enjoyment I have, any fulfillment I have, it'll be temporary, it'll come and go. And then I also become dependent on it. Now, if I don't see my friends every week, I feel lonely. Oh, what about this, right? Why should it be like this? So then I see that not just is it temporary, but it also makes me dependent on it. Now I can't do without something because of that. Well, what kind of a thing is this? I become trapped. Where I see that actually, the main thing about I get, anything I get is not going to really fulfill. It's just going to be like a bandage. That's it. Because, okay, situation there, and then what? Whatever the situation, then what? Like in Shivananda Center, San Francisco, years ago, after Mr. Trump became president, so people there weren't happy. So I said to them, listen, let's just take a hypothetical situation. Because we're in, you know, the most liberal area in U.S. So we said, let's say Bernie Sanders had become president. Of course, everybody would think, oh, how wonderful. What best person could be president? Such a good person, blah, blah. When I first saw him, wow, total dharmic politician. Wow, amazing. Okay, let's say he became president. Very good. I told them, guaranteed, after 3 months, 4 months, you'll be complaining so many things, what's going on too. Why is he not doing this policy? Why that? Blah, blah, blah. Meaning, no situation will make you totally happy. Forget about it. Your happiness depends on situation. There's a nice thing Swami Paramarthananda says about it. He says, if you're happy because of the setup, tomorrow you'll be upset. Because the setup will turn around, you'll be upset. So Vairagya is, hey, I'm dependent on these things, and then what? Then what'll I do without? You know, my guru used to be there. Oh, how wonderful. I go see very uplifting this. Very good. Now physically, is he there? No. If I'm dependent on my guru being present, not to your presence of guru is the best thing. But then what? Remembrance of the guru. You can remember guru so much, but again, it's a memory. Hold on to that. But that memory is just a memory. I'm holding on to something my mind can inspire, but then I have to see myself. I have to know myself, not just dependent on holding a certain memory, even this. You know, so anything in the world, of course, for worldly things, we're dependent. You know, I need air, I need water, I need food. So we're dependent. We're not independent. Physically, you can't be an independent being, not possible. The problem is psychological dependence. And psychological depends because of identification. So vairagya is not dislike for the world, because raga dvesha, likes, dislikes, they go hand in hand. You know, if something is really bad for them and it's not working, you know, really disturbing their system, you know, drugs or alcohol or maybe diabetic sugar, things like this, smoking, then really seeing, understanding the bad part of it and having dislike for it can help to get, you know, as a medicine to. So dislike for certain things in the world, like somebody renounces a dislike for certain things, can help just to distance them from it. But still, that's not full vairagya, because then I have a dislike, right? Dislike is also, where it's not like vairagya, it would be more indifference, because through understanding, through aviveka, through understanding, I know there's the unchanging. The changing will just come and go. So why should I hold on to the changing? What for? You know, somebody has something very valuable. Why do they hold on to something invaluable? There's the story that this sage came to the kingdom and then met with the king. And the king prostrates, and he prostrates to the king. He says, no, don't, please don't, that's not okay. He says, you're such a great renunciate, so that's why I'm prostrating to you. So the sage said, no, king, you're a much greater renunciate than me, much greater. What do you mean, how can that be? You know, it's not possible, no. He said, yes, I'll explain to you why. I renounce this tiny little world that means nothing, just a fleeting show, has no substance. I renounced it, and I rest in my infinite being. You renounce this whole infinite being for this tiny little kingdom that's just the most ephemeral thing. So you renounce something much greater than I renounce. You're a much greater renunciate than me. Like this. So in any case, so the Vairagya says, Vairagya is a true, clear understanding naturally. Naturally drop. Somebody can externally renounce. I'm just going to live on certain, you know, very limited diet. I'm just going to wear these clothes. I'm going to renounce physically. I'm going to, you know, be monk. I'm not going to identify any family like this. Very good. That's physically external, which, you know, we have great regard to, because that's quite something for somebody to live like this. But the through understanding is the most important. Because I can renounce everything externally, but have the attachments in my own mind, ideas in my own mind, identify with. If through understanding, you know, then what? There was one, when I was in Uttarkashi at the ashram there, one sadhu there, I didn't know he spoke English, so he spoke to me. He said, Vairagya is not having anything. But I didn't talk back, because he's a sadhu in this, very good. But in my mind I thought, not have anything, you can help, for sure it can help, but real Vairagya is understanding that this difference. Because I cannot have anything, but then hold on to my ideas, hold on to our better people, better take care, whatever it is. So again, sadhu, great respect for, if really living with nothing like this, amazing. That has, but full Vairagya is understanding, like through understanding. Yes, I'm the unchanging, all the changing, what is it? It'll come and go, so why should I? How can it touch me? Because that's why these go hand in hand. If somebody doesn't have viveka and just sees in this way, then one can become very depressed. That's true. What is life for? Everything that I come will just go. Whatever I really like will be for some time. I can enjoy things for a little while, then my sense won't be able to enjoy anymore. Limited enjoyment. And very hard to get. Anything I want to enjoy, I have to work so hard for, and it lasts for so little. You know, people will just come and go. They won't do how I want. Oh, very depressing. Huge. Life will be so depressing. Anything I create will be destroyed before you know it. Like President Obama. Imagine, he did so many things, and then came a wrecking ball after him, except for, you know, somehow his Obamacare, the medical thing, somehow held on. Everything else he came and bulldozed. Imagine that, right after. If that doesn't give Vairagya, what'll give him Vairagya? So anything I create will be gone soon. So one can be depressed by this. What happens is this whole idea of vanaprastha, third stage in life, there's a reason for it, because midlife crisis. Okay, the kids are growing up, some left home, they're going to leave soon. Now what'll I do? Yes. So vanaprastha, yes, now start looking into things. Have some viveka, and then it'll support. Then this vairagya will be fruitful. Otherwise, it can stay as tamas, and I'll be depressed, like this. Or I can fix it through rajas. Okay, kids are gone. I can do more things. I'm going to learn new things. I'm going to work at a new startup or something. I'm to get other talent. I'll get more involved in all these other things, yes. So through rajas, you get out of it. You do get out of it, but you don't solve the problem. It's still a band-aid. Because now the mind is interested in other things of the world. Okay, I start getting involved in something for serving. Global warming thing, excellent. I have a new meaning for my life, kids are gone. I'm going to really work and serve the world through this. Then you work at it, and you get so frustrated because it's not moving anything in politics. And in the organization working on, there's you know, arguments should be like this or like that, and all this stuff. So, you know, in Hebrew there's a saying, otagi veret. Oh my God, my Hebrew, I don't speak any more to anybody, so it's gone. But something aderet. Aderet, vishinui aderet, thank you. Otag veret, vishinui aderet. It's the same lady with a different dress. Same lady's coming with a different dress, like this.
With a different
And it's, or maybe she's modern, now she's wearing a different Western clothes, you know? Nice new thing. The you know, first she was Sari, now she became a movie star, now where's this other room? So it's the same person, but this. So the same life, but I just made a little bit different in as though. So to have that for somebody who's depressed, that's very useful. Because they're going to, you can't go from tamas to sattva. So if I'm depressed, yes, pull out of it through something. But here, sattva is understanding. Rajas is activity. Understanding is subtler. This is just understanding. I understand that, yes, everything here. So here, for Arjuna's situation, yes, the Bhishma, Drona are there. Your relation as individual with them, as your teacher, as your great-grandsire, it's a temporary thing. How much will you'll be with them so much, and then it'll be gone. So there, you have to look at something higher. Dharma is something higher. Jnana is something higher. Look at those. He didn't get the Dharma yet. He will now. But then, through Viveka, understanding this. So that's why higher principles needed as an individual, and higher understanding needed through Jnana. This is needed. Because everything else is going to... So this is the Vairagya. So Vairagya has to be, we say Viveka Janya Vairagya, the Vairagya has to be born of the Viveka. The midlife crisis is saying, okay, start looking deeper into it. It's, you're getting ready for Vanaprastha. You're getting ready for now. Instead of getting involved more things in the world, you know, involve less and learn these things, look into it. My guru used to say, you kick the world before the world kicks you. Not as a violent thing. You renounce the world before the world renounces you. Before you know it, the world is going to renounce you, meaning Lord Yama is going to say it's finished. And, you know, if now I'm close to death, they'll say, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do this? If I have some inkling about this and I don't look into it, that'll be the more sorrow than I didn't, you know, why did I do this to this person? Why didn't I make amends? Why didn't I do this for my children? Those might be bother. Weigh on me, but how much more this will weigh on me? Why didn't I look into this? I wasted my time. So this is where, so it's a natural, if we really go through life in a dharmic way, naturally Vairagya will be there. No matter what I do, still I'm not happy from it. Still it didn't totally do it. Why? And then, you know, with Viveka it helps to see this. So these are two out of the four sadhana chatushtaya, which as we said, why these are so necessary is that otherwise the atma jnana, knowledge of self, stays at a distance because these help to, you know, configure my understanding, how I look at things, so it's easier to look at it. Otherwise it's very hard. That's why without this, there's no way, without Viveka Vairagya, there's no way to really know atma, because atma is known through Viveka alone, not known through the objective thinking that we're used to. And Vairagya, I'm holding on to things. How am I going to look beyond them if I'm holding on to my ideas and keep, you know, my attention's always on the changing phenomena instead of, you know, learning not to be caught up in it like this. Okay. So that's why these are so important. Otherwise, I won't be able to see it. Okay. So two more. Next week we'll do it because... and time is time, like this. So we'll have to, you know, continue with it next week. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Very good. So before we go, if anybody has any important question, can just spend a few minutes because of time.
How the
let's get into it next week because we're not there yet. But the one thing is, you have to first understand what it is. I want to be happy, I want to be free, but first there has to be understanding, then I can really have desire for it. How can desire wait on? No. So that's one of the main things, yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. But good question. So next week we'll get into that also. Very good. We'll see you all soon. Om Om, take care.
Om Om, thank you.
Kultuv.